you have faced calls for your resignation in the wake of the investigation over the admissions process at the U of I. How do you answer those calls?
Well, I've answered them with the phrase, no, it is not my intention to resign. As long as I continue to have the support of the individuals which make up a broad constituency, such as the faculty and the community. And fortunately, I've received those to date. You're aware of this letter from the CIS professors, 48 of the some of the most distinguished people on campus, and of course that wonderful letter from the community. So given that, having understanding the errors that have been made here, I still feel I can contribute to solving the problem and moving the institution forward.
That letter came before the testimony began, before the Admissions Review Commission. Mm-hmm. Have you heard from those people in the wake of the investigation and your testimony?
Individually, yes. Not all of them, but some of them have reached out with that same level of support.
How about the level of support in the community and among the university as a whole? How do you gauge that, and how do you work with that now that the investigation portion is over?
Well, on the one hand, I obviously intend to go to speak with the Senate, as you're well aware. Number two, I continue to hear from members of the community. I think you watched, if you watched the news report the other night, there seems to be that continuing level of support. As you know, my wife and I are here not just as members of the academic community, but members of the larger Champaign-Urbana community, and we're very proud of that.
You'll be working with a new set of trustees. At least three of them will have changed, or at least have been reappointed. The governor has asked others to resign.
He has, and I pledge to continue to work with that board as long as it wishes me to do so.
What do you tell those new trustees once they come on? Because they will be the ones that will be deciding the personnel, the top personnel of the university.
Sure. I mean, the president and I work subject to the board, board's will. And I think they will probably take the MCVA Commission's charge seriously. I suspect they will. And ask us to have discussions. So I intend to tell them fully how and why and when.
How do you feel the commission worked in its job of looking into the matter? Do you feel you were treated fairly? Do you feel the university was treated fairly?
Well, I think the commission certainly did a good job of identifying the issues at hand and made some absolutely wonderful recommendations about moving forward. I think the criticism of those who were criticized were, I think Joe White used the right phrase, the criticism was proper, that we should have been criticized for this this activity, however well intended.
I mean, did you feel when you had made the recommendations to admit people, when the dean of the law school had questioned whether or not somebody should be admitted, for example, in an exchange of emails that had come out, did you feel that this was a shaky territory that the university and the lawmakers that had asked were stepping on?
Sure, I think I was pretty forthcoming about that particular decision and where I felt I was getting directions from and the need to go in that direction. But it was extremely uncomfortable, which is what I said at my testimony.
I believe, I don't know if former Dean Hurd had mentioned the word victimized in her discussions after the controversy had surfaced. Do you feel that you were victimized too by the process?
Well, to the extent that pressures were put on me, yes, but I you know, I can only speak for myself. I'm not going to speak for others, and Dean Hurd's words are her own, so those are not words that I choose to use.
But you were you felt that you were put in an uncomfortable position.
Oh, I was certainly put in an uncomfortable position.
How does that change with the changes that are being implemented now that President White has asked the campuses to change?
Well, one is the chief one is, in some ways, the chief one is to implement the firewall, hopefully an impermeable firewall. As you know, this campus has probably for 9 months been looking at an appeals process, which will be open to everyone. I think the fair and equitable phrase applies here. Right? I think the way we handle, and I said this early on, that the part of the cure really is to let the admissions office handle admissions. And of course, they do it in consultation with the colleges. That's what I actually said that in my testimony. I do think that is critical, and President White reaffirmed that by saying, I liked his phrase, nobody above a dean should be involved.
Is it possible to create a pure firewall, considering that the chancellor and the president and the deans have a considerable amount of responsibility and accountability in how the admissions process works?
Well, our job, really, Joe White's job, my job, is to return the sanctity of the process, if you will. Right? And part of that, part in doing that, is to put it back into the hands of the admissions officers. I like the testimony of, I guess it was one of the admissions counselors from Fenwick, who said, you know, these guys do a wonderful job. This is 99.9% of the admissions. Let them do it. And I think that is true. And evidence for it is who shows up here. And the wonderful, wonderful cooperation, relation we have with all the high schools in the state.
Will people be able to inquire into the admissions process at all? How is that? How would that change even for somebody? And there were cases brought up in the investigation that some were fairly innocuous. You know, how is student X doing? What, you know, when
sure.
do we expect an answer? That sort
sure,
of thing.
Sure, there were cases like that, and there were lots of denials, and you know, those didn't make it into, if you will, the front pages. I think the inquiries should come from the parents or the students, you know, those directly involved. It's the third party inquiries that are really need to be put aside. And I mean, from my point of view, if I get a call, and I think I said in one of my interviews that I'm not naive enough to believe I won't get a call. But my answer is to tell the caller, if they're directly involved, i.e. student or parent, call the admissions office. And if not, you know, why don't you have that person or those individuals call the admissions office, and absent myself from those going any further. And but still, treat people politely.
We have a new crop of students who will be coming in.
Right.
The admissions process is starting very soon.
Well, the admissions process, yes, will start probably the end of September. And we need a clear statement about what it means to be a member of this community, i.e. come here as a student. And I think you've heard me say that we have to be careful about just grade point average and ACT. Think more broadly about how individuals might contribute to society through their membership in our community of students.
What do you tell the students, the incoming people who are applying at this point, who have heard what's been going on in the past 3 months? What's your assurance to them?
I tell them that this is one of the greatest institutions in the world, and they will get a great education. And that whatever variances in an otherwise great process took place in the past are no longer going to take place.
What's the fallout been from all this? Where does the university go from here, as far as recovering from any fallout? Has there been a loss of faith in the university?
Well, certainly this is an issue which could easily promote a loss of faith, a loss of trust, and I suspect that that's taken place. How it manifests itself is unclear yet. Right? We get letters here, we get letters there, but I think the real test is going to be what we do going forward, and can we, as we must, ensure that we have a process which is fair, transparent, and really is a national model. There's nothing, there's no one model that will work, but certainly the suggestions of the commission need to be fully implemented. And then we have to examine best practice, and we know a lot of that, obviously.
And you feel you will be there to help shepherd that, and you have the standing to do that?
Well, I there are two parts to that, really. My hope is that I'm allowed to continue, and I certainly have a national standing by the activities I've been involved in. I've been fortunate enough to be part of. But yes, that's my intention.
Anything else to add?
No, I think I've said elsewhere that I regret my role in this, and it's something that really happened incrementally. Was somewhat in existence before, and perhaps grew to a scale, grew in a way that was totally unexpected. And part of that is become actually came about perhaps because of the excellence of this place and the pressures of people wanting to get in.